We hope this message from Word of Life Church is a blessing to you.
I want to start this morning with two questions. I've got two questions for you for reflection. And that is, who are we and where are we? These are questions that you can't separate. They kind of go together. We'll be talking about who we are and where we are. It's kind of a strange question, you know, where are we? That's a kind of a funny question. You know, when people talk about that, you'll hear people saying, well, I'm trying to define myself. I'm trying to discover myself. I always want to say, you're right here. Here you are. I found you. You don't have to look anymore. There you are. You know, so how do we answer that question? Where are we as a church? You know, a part of me wants to say, well, Earth, we are here in St. Joseph, Missouri. But I think I understand that the where are we question is tied to the who are we question. It's a question of identity. People want to know. It's a good question. What kind of church is this? How do we identify ourselves? Who are we as a church? And so the simple answer is, well, we are the body of Christ and we're here. And actually, that will serve as a title for the message today. We are the body of Christ and we are here. So for me to say that, well, Word of Life Church, we are the body, the physical body of Christ. I know that can sound somewhat arrogant to say that, well, we are the body of Christ. And so to help you, you got to work with us a little bit. When the Bible talks about the church and calling ourselves the body of Christ is one of the many metaphors for the church. The Bible talks of us, speaks of us as a family, the household of faith, a temple, a building, and, oh yeah, the body of Christ. It calls the church the body of Christ. And whenever the Bible is talking about the church, it's talking about two things. It's talking about the widespread universal church, the big C church. That is, all the people who are alive and have died before us, who have proclaim Jesus Lord, who have been baptized, who confess faith in God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, confess the things that the apostles taught that are captured in the creed. All of these people together, we are the body of Christ, the church universal. But when the Bible talks about the church, it is also, and sometimes instead, talking about the little C church, that is the local church. And so when we speak of the church, you got to understand, are we talking about the big C church and the little C church? And the body of Christ metaphor fits both the universal church. We are the body of Christ. That is, all Christians, regardless of their denominations around the world, even those who have died in faith, are still a part of this universal church. And there's also the little C church, and the little C church is also the body of Christ. And you need to be a part of both, by the way. You should be members of both the universal church, that's through baptism, and you should be members of local churches. You should be participating in the worshipful ministry life of the local church, both of them. But today, I want to talk about the local church, and in particular, this local church as being the body of Christ. And so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, I'll invite you to go there. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at two verses there in talking about Word of Life Church. We are the body of Christ and we are here. And while you are finding that, I'd like to share with you a top 10 list that I have compiled for you. This is going to be the top 10 church signs you would never see on the Word of Life Church marquee. Now, you don't know we have a marquee. Our marquee is that sign with the movable letters at the road, the blue sign out there. So I'd like to give you the top 10 signs you will not see on the Word of Life Church marquee. And I encourage you to laugh out loud, for that is its intended purpose. So let's start. Top 10 signs you will not see on the Word of Life Church marquee. Number 10, life stinks. We have a pew for you. You won't see that here. Number 9, we believe in UFOs, unity, fellowship, and outreach. Now, this one in particular you'll never see here because our church facility is built in a cornfield, right? And so we don't want any references to UFOs, because have you ever noticed that most UFO sightings are in cornfields? reported by some guy named Bubba. Yeah, there's a UFO land right over there. So you will not see that anywhere on our church marquee. Number eight, honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet him in person. Now, we won't have that here, but if our church building was on the belt, that would be a good church sign. So, you know, we prevent the texting and driving thing, which is bad. You shouldn't do that. But it won't be on our sign. Number seven, staying in bed and shouting at God does not constitute going to church. That will not work. Waking up late on Sunday morning, stretching, going, oh, Lord, that's not church. You got to be gathered with the saints. So you won't see that sign here. Number six, have a spiffy epiphany. Now, some of you don't even know what epiphany is. Epiphany is a church holiday. It's on the church calendar. And we do want you to have a spiffy epiphany. But as clever as that sounds, we will not put it on the church sign. I promise you that. You'll never see that. All right, number five, you may party in hell, but you will be the barbecue. Golly, that's an actual church sign. That was on someone's sign. That won't be on our sign. Nothing communicates the love of God like cannibalism in the flames of hell. That won't be us. Number four, don't let worries kill you. Let the church help. number three, we love hurting people, which is all about the emphasis, you know. It's all about emphasis, people. So, yeah, we love hurting people, or we love hurting people. That's not what we want to convey. Number two, bring your sins to the altar and drop them like they're hot. If your sin gets an attitude, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot. A heart gets an attitude, park it like it's hot, park it like it's... White people should never impersonate gangster rappers on a Sunday morning, so I apologize. Finally, the number one sign you'll never see on the church marquee is, in case of rapture, please feed the pastor's cat. I promise you, you won't see that one. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, if you're there, we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 4. 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's a good text because it's bookend with love, speaking the truth in love and then being built up in love. And it speaks of the church. This text within chapter 4 speaks of the church. Chapter 4 of Ephesians is all about the church. Really, the whole book of Ephesians is about the church. And you could even expand it to say anything that Paul has authored. This book of our Bible was originally a letter from Paul the Apostle to the church in Ephesus. And it's all about church life. That was Paul's great theme. In all of his writings, he's talking about the church in Jesus, because Jesus is the grand subject. He is the main character of all of Scripture and Paul's writings. But that is what Paul focused on in his writings. So in Romans and the Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians and Thessalonians and Timothy, all these books that Paul authored, he's talking about church life. What it means, and here in our text, what it means to be the body of Christ and to be present. Eugene Peterson says about the book of Ephesians, it gives us a revelation of the church that we do not see. What Ephesians, what these two verses, and really the whole book of Ephesians does, is it gives us the inside stuff of the church. The values that become the fertile soil from which the visible church sprouts up and blossoms and blooms. So in Ephesians, we don't see the visible stuff. We don't see how to conduct a worship service. Paul doesn't tell us, when do you put the video announcements in your worship service? Do you do that in the beginning or the middle, the end? Where do you do that? Right? It doesn't tell us, you know, how to have a church staff or how to run a children's ministry. None of those things. Instead, it gives us these values that become a part of the foundation for a healthy, Christ-centered church. In other places, Paul's used this metaphor, and specifically in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, he's using this metaphor of the body of Christ in speaking of the church, that we are Christ's physical presence on the earth, that we are the body of Christ. And it's a good metaphor on a couple different levels. In one sense, it communicates to us that we are a living entity. See, the church is not an idea on paper. The church is not an organizational flow chart. No, the church is a living entity. It's not an organization. It's an organism that's alive. To call us the body of Christ speaks of, well, human bodies, which is the church. I know we like to call the facility the church. So when you're driving down Riverside with your friends, you'll point to this building and go, there's my church. And then we talk about getting up and going to church. And I understand that language, but that's not the language of the scriptures. See, the church meets in the building, but the building itself is not the church. We are the body of Christ, and we are human flesh and blood bodies. And we are not the church as individuals. So you can't say, I am the church. You have to say, we. And so the body metaphor works because your human body is made up of all these different parts that work together. You got all these organs that have specific purposes. And just on the outside, you got a head and you got eyes, you got a nose, you got a mouth, you got ears, hands, arms, feet, armpits. You got all these different parts that have some kind of purpose that put together the whole body, which is a great picture of us because we are individual parts that have to work together to make this thing called the body of Christ. So it's right for us to say that for us as a church, Word of Life Church, we are the body of Christ and we are here. We are present. Now the question is, what are we here for? We are the body of Christ. And again, we're connected to all the other churches and all the other believers together, Universal Church. We are the body of Christ. Even churches in St. Joe, we're partners with them. We're not competitors with other churches. That's why I appreciated seeing Pastor Micah Fries from Frederick Boulevard give a greeting. And because this is one of our partners. We're not competitors with these other churches. They're our partners. We're all connected to this universal body of Christ. But again, we're focusing on just us, just Word of Life Church. We are the body of Christ and we are here, but what are we here for? We've answered that question in our vision statement. And it's this: we are here to wholeheartedly participate in God's mission to redeem people and restore his world through Jesus Christ. We are here to wholeheartedly participate in God's mission to redeem people and restore his world through Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are here, and this is what we're here for. Redeeming people, restoring his world. That phrase, redeeming people, to redeem means to buy back. We're redeeming people from lives of destruction and hell and bringing them into a right relationship with God so they can be a part of this new creation, new humanity that we see in Christ. It's really speaking of the disciple-making thing. When Jesus told us to go into all the world and to make disciples, it's redeeming people and making them disciples of the Jesus way. That's what we are here for. To redeem people and to restore his world. That we're making disciples in order to restore God's good world. In order to work for those things that make for peace. This is the big vision, the big picture. And so the question from there then is, okay, if we are the body of Christ and we are here and we're here to redeem people and restore his world, to participate wholeheartedly with what God's doing and his mission, how are we to accomplish that? And we've put that together in a statement. It's our mission statement. The vision gives us the big picture of where we're going, but the mission statement tells us this is how we're going to do that. And here's our mission statement. Our mission is to connect people to Jesus Christ and one another, grow in the Christian virtues of faith, hope, and love, serve others in Christ-like humility. This is our mission. And it has three words in it: connect, grow, and serve. And you will see and hear that repeated over and over and over. That this is answering the who we are question. We are a connect, grow, and serve kind of a church. And so with the time that I have remaining, I just want to spend some time talking about each part of that, connect, grow, and serve. And so it starts with the first word. First part of our mission statement is connect. We start there, connect. And what we say is that we want to connect people to Jesus Christ and to one another. And notice that it starts with Jesus. That's where we start. It starts with Jesus, that we want to be the kind of church that is connecting people who are disconnected from God. We want to connect them with Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? Some of the initial steps in connecting your life with Jesus Christ is to make this very subversive claim that Jesus is Lord. That's where it starts. By pledging your allegiance to Jesus and declaring that he is Lord. Now, the word Lord requires a little bit of work because we're not living in the 17th century in England. Because we don't use the word Lord too often. We don't have a house of lords. We have a house of representatives. So we don't use the word Lord too often. It needs a little bit of work. And essentially, the word Lord means boss or master. So the only time in American English that we really regularly ever use the word Lord outside of church is when we talk about landlords. So if you are renting, you understand what a Lord is. It's your landlord. If you're renting a house, you cannot put one drop of paint on the wall of that house that you're living in without permission from the landlord. And why is that? It's not your house. It'll feel like your house because you're living there. You feel like you got some ownership because you're trying to rake up the yard. Please, if you're renting, rake up the yard. Help your landlord out. Rake those leaves up. Right? So you're helping out and you're paying rent on time every month. It feels like it's your house, but it is not your house. If you are renting, you are living in a home that you do not own. You're living in the home owned by somebody else. It's owned by the landlord. And so to confess that Jesus is Lord is to confess that you are now living in a life that you do not own. That Jesus, if you're declaring that he's Lord, okay, Jesus, you are Lord. I'm confessing that to be true. What you're saying is I don't run the show anymore. I don't even run my life anymore. See, some people think that making Jesus Lord means, well, I like Jesus. Some people see making Jesus Lord as a statement of preference. Well, I like Jesus more than the Buddha. Yeah, the Buddha, he's got some health concerns, that pudgy little belly. I think I'll like Jesus. Okay, Jesus is Lord. I like Jesus more than the Buddha. And that's not what declaring that Jesus is Lord is all about at all. Confessing that Jesus is Lord is saying, I am confessing what is true, that you are the Lord and I'm giving you my life. I will humble myself and let you have control of my life, Lord Jesus. And it requires that step of humility, which makes it difficult for some people. Because you know about humility, right? Humility is acknowledging two immutable truths. One, there is a God. Two, I am not him. So to declare Jesus is Lord, to take that step of humility is to acknowledge, Jesus, you are God. I am not. And you get to run the show. And that's where it starts for us. We are the body of Christ connecting disconnected people into the kingdom of God under the lordship of Jesus. It starts there. But we also want to be the kind of church that is connecting people to one another. Because a part of confessing faith in Jesus and calling him Lord is to associate with this thing we call the body of Christ, the church. So you can't stay at home, just you and your Bible, and call that church. It's not church. That's devotions. That's you and your Bible at home. Church requires other people. That's why you cannot say, I am the body of Christ. We say, we are the body of Christ. It requires you to be connected. And so we'll be the kind of church that creates an atmosphere and a place where people can connect with one another through our services, through our ministry, and I'm happy to say through our new to come small group ministry. Now, this is a bit into the future where we're going, but You know what? I get the microphone and I'm up here, so I get to talk about it. Because small groups are a part of my ministry that I'm overseeing here. Last Saturday, we had an unveiling of our small group ministry in an event we call the Forum. We had 100 people turn out, and they didn't come just for the barbecue, even though the barbecue was fantastic. They came because they had an interest in small groups and what's that about. And we had 100 people. We had 78 people fill out a feedback form. I had a 2-page, 14-question form that I made everybody fill out. And 78 people turned them in, and I kind of tricked them a little bit. I told them, you want that good barbecue we're talking about? Your filled-out form is your ticket to get in. And so I made them fill it out before they could get they could see we brought the barbecue into the NYC so they could smell it. And the aroma was filling the air. And so I got them to fill it out. I actually, when I collected the forms, I had 3 forms not filled out. So you know who you are, whoever didn't fill those forms out. You said, I want barbecue, but I ain't filling this thing out. I'll just stick it in the pile. 78 people filled out forms. 64 people who filled out a form, it's 82%, said that they would be willing to serve in some capacity in our new small group ministry, which I'm thrilled. So, for those of you who are not here, let me give you a little info about this new emerging small group ministry. It'll be a place for you to connect with one another. Essentially, we're going to have 3 different kind of groups. We're going to have connect groups, we're going to have grow groups, and perhaps you can guess the third type. We will have serve groups. Huh, connect, grow, serve. Huh, I've heard that somewhere. Connect, grow, and serve groups. Our connect groups will be groups of people that gather around some kind of activity or common interest. And so, for example, now we haven't planned any groups out. We're still working on that. But for example, there will be groups of people, and there'll be like a runners group. There'll be a college basketball group. There'll be a cooking group. There may be a barbecuing group. After the barbecue bonanza last Saturday, I've heard lots of people, yes, put me on that barbecue group. I want to gather with men who want to eat barbecue. You know, we might have a women's Saturday morning shopping group. All the ladies said, whoop, whoop, oh, sign me up. But the idea is we're going to have these groups just so that you can connect with one another. And what we've understood about relationships is people connect around a common interest. So we'll have connect groups, we're going to have grow groups. Many of these will be home-based Bible studies, studying books of the Bible, other good Christian books, studying parenting and marriage and family life and finances. And then we'll have serve groups. And our serve groups will be groups of people that gather together to serve, either in our church or in the community. And the underlying value under all of these groups is friendship. You can't underestimate the role of friendship in this connect process. Because see, when we talk about connecting people to one another, we don't mean that metaphorically. We mean that literally. We mean we're playing like a little matchmaker, you know, not just for singles trying to get married, but we're trying to connect people together in friendship. That's a deep value that's going to run through all of our groups. Because you need friends. You are not designed to be isolated and alone. You were made for friendship, for companionship, which speaks of marriage. Yes, you should be married and have a family, but even outside of family, you need to have friends. And that's important to the Christian life is, yes, you gather in a large group gathering with all these people, and you can remember the names of about 3 of the people around you, and that's good. That's a part of what we do. We gather in large group worship, but we want you to have places, smaller groups where you can make friends. Because here's the truth. You will be like the people you hang out with. And that's absolutely true. You can have all the learning, all the edumacation. We can put you through classes and we can preach great Bible truth and knowledge. And at the end of the day, you're going to be like the people you hang out with. For about 5 years, I worked as a youth pastor. And I worked with teenagers. And I saw that big time. Middle schoolers and high schoolers, how they become like their friends. Because in middle school and high school, you have all these little tribes. You walk into the lunchroom and you can just see them. All the little groups. And they're all individuals expressing their individuality. Whatever. They're just like their friends, right? Their clothes, the hairstyle, the way they talk. It's just all just like their friends. That's the way it works in high school. Then I became a real pastor. Now, that's not really true because youth pastors are real pastors. But I became a pastor over adults. And here's what I learned about adults. Adults, just like a bunch of high schoolers. It's the same stuff. It's just more complicated. And working with adults, what I found out, it's adults, you are going to be like the people you hang out with. So if there's something you don't like about yourself, look at the people you associate with, because you're going to be like people you hang out with. So we want to connect you with the life of God through Jesus Christ. We want you to be connected, declaring that Jesus is Lord and living under that lordship and connected to one another, making friends. Now, you're not going to have friendship with everybody in here. You can't have that many friends. They can all be your Facebook friends, but they can't be your real friends. But we want to create smaller groups, opportunities for you to connect and make friends. That's important. Next part of our mission statement is grow. Three words to our statement. Connect. Second part is to grow. That once you have connected your life to Jesus Christ and you have begun to connect with one another, we want to see you grow up. And that's what Paul actually talks about here in verse 15. He says, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. Growth is not optional. Growth is a requirement. It's just a part of the Christian life. And so we'll be the kind of church that not only connects people together, we'll be the kind of church where people grow in the Christian virtues of faith, hope, and love. In other words, they will grow and become like Christ, be like Jesus. That's our goal, for you to grow up and be a unique expression of Jesus Christ. Now we have some things that are working against us culturally, both in our culture and in church life, things that work against growth. And one of the things in our culture that is working against us is that birth is celebrated. And growth just requires a lot of patient consistency. But birth gets a lot of attention, right? Babies get a lot of attention. A baby is born, it is a celebration, right? Mama's writing down every little detail, you know? When a baby is born, we know how long they were, how much they weighed. We know what gender they are, which is important if you're buying gifts for that baby. You need to know that. Pink, blue, keep them separate. Or just do yellow and green, it works for both. But we celebrate when babies are born. We even know exactly what time, right? And dad would be like, oh, the baby was born about 6 o'clock. And mom's like, no, that baby was born at 6:14 p.m., right? Because there's something about babies and birth that gets lots of attention, as it should. I'm not arguing that it should not get attention. I mean, it's great. We love babies. God loves babies. And so we celebrate. But having babies is relatively quick and easy. Well, I'm sorry, that's a man. That's a man's perspective on having babies. All you mamas would disagree with me, but I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's my male perspective. But in perspective, birth is much quicker than growth. Growth takes so much more time, and in some senses, more difficult. I mean, think about the parents of the newborn. Right? The newborn baby comes and it's joy and sleepless celebration, right? Everything is cute. Everything is great. They got the cute little hands, the cute little feet, the cute little outfits. And look, made a little stinky diaper. It's cute too. Yeah. Right? Everything about babies is cute. But take those same parents 2 years down the road. Those same parents are pulling their hair out going, dear God, what did you give us? We had this holy tornado destroying our house and lives. Because growth is hard. It is difficult. And in the church, we put a lot of emphasis on birth as well. And this can work against us, especially churches like ours. We're known, you can hear language in churches like ours, like born again. We're born again Christians. You know, a lot of us don't use that as a self-identifier, but churches like ours, they do that. Talk about being born again, the new birth. Have you been born again? I'm a born again Christian. Again, the focus is on birth. And we use phrases like getting saved, and I got saved, and I'm getting people saved, and we're getting them saved. And again, the focus is all on the point of entry. And again, we are not opposed to that. We want people to connect their lives to Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't tell us just to bring people in the door. Or let me put it to you this way. Jesus did not tell us to go into all the world and make converts. He told us to go into all the world and make disciples. And that's something radically different. That's a bit of a paradigm shift. Jesus did not say, go into all the world and get people saved. Get them signed up for heaven. Get them their ticket for heaven so they can go to heaven and miss hell. And that's not what he called us to do at all. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. And disciple making is slow, difficult, hard work. Because disciple making is that work of helping people grow in their faith to become more like Jesus. And man, is that difficult work. It's difficult because a part of growth, just physiologically for human beings, a part of growth requires change. Particularly think about adolescence. And just think about the physiological change a person goes through from childhood into that next phase where they become some alien living at your home. You know, you're like, who are you? What are you? Right? You're in this, you know, you're in this change we call adolescence. You're not a child and you're not an adult. You're in this strange in-between teenage vein. Things begin to change. And that change is difficult, right? Bunch of eighth grade boys, you know, wanting to go talk to the girls. And they're like, hey, baby, how are you doing? And their voice is cracking and they're all embarrassed. And please don't make me explain all the changes that happened during this time. But there's changes that happen and it's difficult. And see, in the church, we want to connect you to Jesus Christ. And so in a sense, once you declare that Jesus is Lord and then you're baptized, that's the steps, you confess faith in Christ and you are baptized in the waters of baptism, that's like a birth. Even kind of fits that metaphor. And so we want you to connect to Jesus Christ. We want you to be baptized and we want to be multiplying baptisms. We want lots of people who are disconnected from Christ to come into the kingdom and be baptized. We want that. But once you have been baptized, it's okay for you to be a baby Christian. You can be a baby in your faith. That's fine. We understand. We got to feed you. You make a little stinky. We got to change your diaper. And we're happy to do that for a while, right? So you can be a baby Christian for the first 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. But eventually, you have to grow up. And a part of that growth requires change. Just think about it. You know, the things that we think about it this way. The things sometimes that we say in kids' church, we have to change. We have to change our vocabulary. For example, we often in children's ministry, we talk about telling children to ask Jesus into their heart. And I understand why we do that. I'm not necessarily a fan of that because of where it leads us, but that's the kind of language that children can understand. So we talk about asking Jesus into their heart. But once you grow up, we have to explain, well, Jesus has a resurrected body. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in you that you've actually asked into your heart and actually you don't even ask. You just make a declaration, you're baptized, and the Spirit comes, and it's complicated. But see, it requires a change in thinking. So as you are growing in Christ, there will be moments that truth will be presented to you that causes you to rethink everything. And for some people, they go, I can't do that. I for so long, I thought it was this way, and now you're telling me it's something different. I can't go on. In essence, saying, I want to stay in infancy. I'm fighting against the forces of change. But listen, this is what we're doing as a church. We want you to grow. And we want to create environments that, yes, challenge you to become more like Jesus. So we want you to connect. We want you to grow. Finally, third part, last part of our mission statement is to serve. Serve. And there is a progression here if you think through it. First, connect Jesus to others. Then grow. After a season of growth, then it's serve. Word of Life Church, we are the body of Christ and we are here to serve others in Christ-like humility. And we want to invite you to do that, particularly those of you who feel like you're not growing in your faith anymore. Sometimes people get in a place where they feel like, I'm not growing in my faith anymore, and something is wrong. And typically what happens is you are not growing in your faith anymore, but you're not serving anywhere. And so you get this awkward place of your spiritual journey. Maybe it's after 5 years, 7 years, 10, 12 years. And you're like, I'm just not growing anymore. I'm just not growing. And something feels wrong. Now, avoid the temptation. Don't start pointing fingers at pastoral leadership, which is what some Christians will do. Baby Christians will do. They'll say, I've been coming to the church for 10 years and I filled up all my notebooks and I've learned all this stuff and I'm not learning anymore. You're not feeding me. And blah, 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 blah. Instead of pointing fingers, instead, you have to look and say, well, where am I serving? Because some of you need to stop filling notebooks full of God facts. You got enough Bible information to be a seminary professor. It's time to go to work. It's time to start serving. Word of Life Church will be the body of Christ, and we are here to serve. And you can serve in two capacities. One, inside our church, too, in our community. And we'll make that easy for you. To serve inside the community, we'll give you easy access to serve in the church. We have here at Word of Life Church an extremely hard-working staff. I've been on staff over 5 months here, so I'm still kind of new, and I'm telling you that these are hard-working, dedicated people that don't just work in their departments, but they're working in other departments, and they're volunteering, and they're serving, many wearing multiple hats. Hard-working people. But listen to me. Every ministry in this church is fueled by people power, by volunteers. Every ministry within our church has volunteers that serve in some capacity. So, Word of Life Church is your home church. You want to connect, grow, and serve with us. You're not serving in any way. You need to let us know. And you can find that connect card that's in the pew back in front of you. You can find this connect card. Put your name on here, some contact information, phone number, email. That's probably fine. Then on the back side, please check the boxes that apply to you. I'd like more information about volunteer opportunities. You mark that, put your name on the front. Give this card to someone who looks like they know what they're doing. And we will contact you and help find a place for you to serve. And if you're just not sure where to go, you can go on our website, check out the information there, or just call me. I'd be happy to talk with you. Call the church office, ask for Pastor Derek. I will talk to you, and we will find a place for you to serve. But it's not just serving here. It's also serving in our community. And we are so blessed, so fortunate to have a social justice ministry and a social justice director that gets us connected with needs in our community. And so we have ongoing serve groups through our social justice ministry right now that are helping to meet needs in our community. And I appreciate that our social justice ministry is particularly interested in working with the down and out, with the marginalized, the outcast, the poor. And so there's another opportunity for you to serve. You can fill out a connect card, call the church office. We'll give you all the information on where you can do that. But you have to find a place to serve if you want to continue to grow in Christ. So we are the body of Christ, and we are here to connect, to grow, and to serve. And I hope you notice that all three parts of our mission statement, ultimately, it's all about Jesus. We want to connect people to Jesus. We want people to grow up to look like Jesus. We want people to serve just like Jesus. Because at Word of Life Church, it is all about Jesus. It is all for Jesus. It is always about Jesus from beginning to end as we're connecting and growing and serving. Pastor Eric, let me get you and the worship team to come and get ready to play some music for us. There's two things that I want us to do before I dismiss you and let you go. Number one is I want to give a challenge. I want to issue forth a challenge. It's not going to be a challenge for everybody in here, but it's going to be a challenge for some. And it's going to be a difficult challenge. So I'm asking your permission for me to issue the challenge and for you to at least hear me out. Just remember, I am Pastor Derek and I am your friend. I want what is best for you. But here's the challenge. For some of you, you need to stop dating the church and you need to get hitched. You know, dating is a good thing in my estimation. I mean, two people, you know, want to get married, I would say before you get married, you should date. You should get to know one another. I think that's a good thing. All right, some people get married really quick. I think it's always good. You need to get to know one another. Fellas, you want to get to know this woman you're going to be in covenant with for your whole life, right? You need to know what she's like. You need to know her likes, her dislikes. You got to meet her friends. You got to meet her family. You got to meet her mama. You want to know what her mama is like. I'm just saying. So you need some type of dating courtship process. I think that's really good. I think that you should do that. I don't think you should date forever. I think that dating should lead you to marriage. Because the truth is, a guy who wants to date without any intentions for marriage is simply using women for his own selfish purposes. And that's the truth. And so there are people that all they want to do is date the church. They just want to hang out. They just want to date. They don't want to just be friends. They want to be more than friends. But those kind of people, they just want to date, and there's never any intention of commitment. And for those of you who have been dating us, maybe you've been just church hopping, you're visiting all these churches, I'm not saying that's bad. There is a time to date a church. There is a time to kind of check out the church, figure out what the church is like, what the church doesn't like, figure out what the church's mother is like, which that leads us down a theological road I don't even want to get into, but you see what I'm saying. You got to figure out the church, right? Before you make a commitment. There is a time of dating. But listen, if you've been dating us for 5-6 months, it is time to pop the question. You got a ring? It's time. It's time. If not, then what you will do is you will remain a taker and you'll never become a giver and you'll never enjoy the beauty of being a part of a local church. And it's perfect timing because next Sunday we're going to have a membership reception after each of our services. If you are ready to make that step, you can come to that reception after service next week and you can become a member. Last thing I want us to do before I let you go. You should have received an update your information card when you came in. Many of you filled this out last Sunday, but some of you did not. So we're giving you an invitation right here in the service to fill this out. So if you would locate your update your information card, and if you've already filled this out, listen to me.